Hey, well, my name is John. This is my wife, Pam.
Hi, guys.
And we have been around Watermark a long time. So I remember when Watermark was a crazy idea. We weren't sure it was going to fly. And so it's really fun to be with you guys here tonight. And tonight we're talking about sex. And actually, yes.
Woo! Yeah, right. Come on.
All right.
I heard a yes.
Yeah, all right.
Wow. This is really hot, too.
So to start a conversation, what did you say?
This is hot.
The mic is hot.
Yes.
Golly, girl. Like, that's not in the notes right there. Okay. Just whatever's on here, say that. So, what was I going to say? Oh, math, stats. Oh, so we brought some slides here to start tonight.
You're starting with math. All right.
You'd always do this to me. So, this is actually not average. The stats are all kind of all over the place. But let's just assume that you, as a couple, have sex 6 times per month at 45 minutes per encounter.
Encounters.
Shady word. I don't know that we should probably change that word. But let's say that was true, okay, for you. Next slide.
We decided it was better than obligation.
Obligation, yep.
That's better.
So what that means is your married life, right, you will have sex 0.625% of your entire married life, right? Which is not, you know, some of us, like when we were in college and thinking about getting married, we thought the number would be so much higher than that. But that's, you know, give or take. Most people don't have sex for, you know, on average, you know, 45 to an hour. And so you just kind of, you can turn the slides on that and get to whatever is your number. But most of us aren't going to spend more than about 0.6%. Of our entire married life having sex. What's so amazing, though, is how much that 0.625% often has to do with the health of our marriage, both on the upside, when sex is going great and we're high-fiving each other and we both said that was awesome, right? How that just seems oftentimes to kind of just give wind to our sails and our relationship. And then conversely, when we're not doing well, how it can just kind of paint this really drab picture over our relationship. And we just go, everything's terrible, everything's gray, it's not as it should be. And it's only 0.625%, which means it's an incredibly, incredibly powerful part of our relationship, okay? And so tonight we're going to talk about kind of what God says about sex. We'll do two nights, one tonight and one next week. So tonight we're going to talk about what does God say about sex, and then next week we're going to talk about what is our own unique conversation that we need to have. Right? Each of us are at a very, very different place, and I'm fully aware that some of you guys in here, you're doing like really well in this area, and you go like, I'm not trying to brag, but like this is kind of a strength for us, and we do well. And then some of you, the thought of even having sex with the person you're sitting next to, it just seems appalling, okay? So I'm fully aware of that. So the conversations that need to come out of both tonight and tomorrow are incredibly different. And so we'll talk next week about what would it look like for you to take kind of a measured step towards oneness in this area, and we'll set you up for that conversation, but you can have it tonight as well. Okay, you just want to have your own unique conversation. Don't worry about what other people are doing or what you think other people are doing. You worry about you and your own marriage and what's the conversation that you need to have. Okay, but tonight we're going to start with what does God say, which is always a place that we start. And so do you want to...
Well, yeah, even before that, we do want to start with just acknowledging that really all of us fall into one of three views of sex. And so the first one is that we kind of make sex a god. We make it the thing. And so if it's not going amazing, everything, like John talked about, like the world is gray, our life is falling apart, and it's kind of out of its place. Or we could go to the other extreme, which is often where we go kind of in the church, and it's just gross. And it's just like not a big deal. We kind of minimalize it. It's almost like saying, hey, you know, I love you, but I just don't want to talk. Wives, can you imagine if your husband said, I love you, but I just don't want to talk to you. Like, I don't like to talk. It's a big deal, and we make it like it's not a big deal. And so it's either one of those two things. We make it a god, we think it's gross, or somewhere in the middle, in the proper place. And I think when we think about Psalm 73, 25 and 26, love this verse, it says, whom have I in heaven but you? Nothing on earth I desire compares to you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but you, O Lord, are my strength and my portion forever. And that view of God, however great it's going, however horrible things are, success, failure, any of those things, if we have that correct view that we've got the Lord, so we're good, then that leads us to a proper perspective, which is that sex is a good gift. And God gives that to us. Again, wherever you are, everybody's in a unique place, and the Lord knows exactly where you are. But it just keeps us from sex is a god, sex is gross. It just helps us see, hey, God's given us this. We've got the Lord, so wherever we are, we're good, and sex is a good gift.
That's good. Yeah, I've quoted Psalm 73, 25, 26 many times, right? You know, I'm finishing up the night, and I've got big plans, and I walk around the corner, and Pam's asleep, you know? And my whole world is coming down, and I just quote that to myself. Hey, I'm going to be okay. Life will go on, big guy. You know, you don't have to get angry and, you know, take it out, on the dog. Because I've got God, I'm good. But we don't want to minimize it, right? We don't want to minimize it. And we see it in its proper perspective. It is a good gift to be enjoyed. And so what we want to talk about is just kind of five things that God's word says about sex. And I would love, there was another day at Watermark, we would teach, if you can believe this, like an entire day on sex. And we would unpack a big theology about sex. And so we don't have that much time tonight, but I think there's some we'll give you five kind of anchoring thoughts, okay, that we can go to in Scripture, and which is where we start, right? As Christians, that's where we start. We don't start with what we've heard. We don't start with what we've done. We don't start with what others have told us. And we don't start with pornography. That's not where we get our views, ideas, our norms, our playbook from sex. We get it from God's word. That's what the people of God do. And we all need to be reminded of that. Okay, so let's talk about five of these things that I think are anchored in Scripture as we think about sex.
Yeah, and so right off the bat that our bodies are good. And so we know in the very first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, 27, you know, it's even before that, that God looks around everything he's created, animals and the trees and the oceans and the earth and everything is good. Then he makes man in his image and he makes woman and he says these are very good. And so we know that however distorted our view is now, that God says our bodies are good. And so we often talk to women about just having a correct body image and that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But we see now that body image is a big issue for men as well. Just the society we live in, social media, just all that we can very quickly forget that God made us uniquely, fearfully, and wonderfully. He knit us together in our mother's womb, that our bodies are good.
Yeah, that's good, right? And that it's hard because of what sin has done in the world to think about, you know, that our bodies are good. Guys, a lot of times, will stand in front of the mirror, you know, and they're like, they grab and they go, yeah, she's lucky, you know. And girls have a little bit harder time, but all of us, I think, have a hard time believing that our bodies are good, but they are. That's one of the kind of the precursors to having biblical sex is that God made me somehow in his image, and I get to join that with my spouse, okay? The second one is that sex is good, right? This was God's idea, and it was good. And so you've got two naked people there, right? God gave Adam an amazing gift. He gave Adam the gift of a woman who owned no clothes, right? That's a great gift to give a guy. And so they're standing there in creation, and God says, hey, you guys, go be fruitful and multiply, right? And they're like, cool. They had never seen any billboards. They'd never been to junior high or high school or college, right? They'd never seen anything they shouldn't have, out on the interwebs. They go, yeah, this must be good. We'll go be fruitful and multiply. And it would have been amazing, right? And guys, think about that. There was nobody else on the planet. Can you imagine that? How cool that would have been, like, you know, like out in the field, not worrying if anybody's going to see birds flying by, you know, caw, you know, giving Adam a thumbs up. There's no one to compare to, no one else to be there to watch, to see, and it would have been awesome. And so when we find ourselves going, sex, it's like, yeah, it's gross, it's yucky, it's painful, it's hurtful. There's a lot of shame, there's a lot of guilt. We can address all that, but we have to remember that God's ideal is that it's good, and it's a good gift to be enjoyed. And I think we have Song of Solomon 5:1 you know, which is just a great passage. Basically, this couple is getting married and everyone's outside and saying, basically, like, have at it, guys. Like, go get it and enjoy it. And that's in the Bible. And they're talking about sex between a man and a woman on their wedding night. And it's a good thing. It's not gross. It's not like sometimes Christians, it's almost like we feel like we found out something we weren't supposed to find out about, you know, like God's looking down going, oh my gosh, Adam, like get off of her, you know, that kind of thing. That was his design. And we enjoy it. We're living out and we're living in God's created design. Okay. So just as Christians, we have to believe that sex is good.
And the third thing, it's an opportunity to glorify God. And so we see, you know, the Bible tells us everything, whatever we eat, drink, whatever we do, sex included in that, and we do it to glorify God. And so it's a great opportunity to do that. We don't check out our Christianity when we cross the bedroom door, right? And so it applies there really in marriage really profoundly there. And just to think about the way that we can glorify God in the way that we serve each other. I mean, men and women, our response times, just foreplay, all of that, the way we serve each other, what we desire, it all looks different. And so just the way that I can come toward John and say, hey, I want to serve you, vice versa, the way I can sacrifice, all that is a way to glorify God. And it's really profound, I think, in the area of sex.
Yeah, so I was reading, I mean, 1 John 5 last night, like how do we know we love God? We obey him. That's how you want to know if you love God, you obey him. And his commands are not burdensome. It's a joy to obey God's commands. That's how we know that we love God. And we can love God in the bedroom, and we can glorify God in the bedroom, right? And so, it's not like, you know, you have to play Christian music as you have sex, you know. I mean, that's your thing. Go ahead, you know. That's not what that means, but I think it's the way we would apply that verse is just the way we treat each other, the way we talk to each other, the way we express our desires, not becoming demands, and we look to serve the other person. We absolutely can glorify God in the way that we relate to each other. Okay, number four, super clear in Scripture: sex is designed for marriage. Period. Right? Before you get married, you can have sex with no one. Once you get married, you can have sex with one person. That's it. It's the way God designed it. He gets to make the rules. It's his creation. And so that includes things like pornography, which is completely out of bounds, right? Because that involves someone else. That involves another person. Right? That involves our thoughts. That would involve physically bringing someone else into our marriage or going outside, out of bounds, okay? Completely out of bounds. And oftentimes, the lack of choice really does free us up. If I know I've got to have sex with one person for the rest of my life, I better be nice to her, right?
I better be.
And we probably should, like, talk about it, and we probably, you know, should find out what each other likes and all those kind of things. And so rather than it being a burden, it really does become a blessing, okay? But however you think about sex, if you ever think about it in any capacity, even emotionally, outside of the person you're sitting next to, it's out of bounds, okay? God gets to make that rule.
Yeah, and so the last thing is just, it's an opportunity to serve. So obviously we talked about it glorifies God. What a great way to glorify God. You don't have a slide for that.
Killed that slide because we're going to save time, and we thought at the end, let's just go ahead and make sure.
Yeah, make sure you hear that it's an opportunity to serve. So the best sex verse in the Bible, Philippians 2, 3 and 4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others' interests as more important than your own. And again, I can't think of many places better than in the bedroom with my spouse thinking, I want to be selfish, I want to go to sleep, I want this. But hey, I'm going to serve him. I want to know what he likes. I want to know how to move toward him. I want to know how to compromise. I want to know how to serve him. So it's a great opportunity. And so women, we have a chance not to manipulate our husbands, use it as a bargaining chip, which is often easy to fall into. But instead, hey, how can I serve you? I may not feel great, but like I want to serve him. I want to love him. And so it's a great opportunity there.
Yeah. You want to talk about power. I always appreciate the way you talk about that.
And just, yeah. Yeah. And so there's a great book by our friend Gary Thomas that talks about It's called Sacred Marriage, and it just talks about power. And it says the person who has the lowest sex drive, and which is often, and so just a little caveat here, often we talk about, we put stereotypes like the guy's the one that always wants to rip her clothes off and be ready to have sex all the time, and the woman is the one that's like, oh, I have a headache. It's often not the case. We know that close to 30% of women have a higher sex drive than their husbands.
It's probably climbing.
Yeah. And that it changes in life stage. You guys know that. It's different when kids are little. It's just going to change. So it's whoever has the lower sex drive has kind of the power in the marriage sexually. And so, there's only, when I'm thinking about it, there's only one place John can shop. And when the store's closed, there's nowhere else he can go. And so I've got power there. And so to be available and just to think about who handled power, had ultimate power and handled it well, is Christ. And we see that again in Philippians 2. And so just the power that you have, again, women, just not to use it. And we see this a lot. Do not use it as a, hey, if you jump through these hoops, then you can have sex, big boy. But just the opposite. Hey, how can I serve you?
Yeah.
And then guys too.
Yeah, yeah. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 was written in a context where people just used and abused power. You got it, you kept it, you used it. And Jesus always talked about it in a different way. And he said, if you've got power, you serve. You don't think about your own interest, and you don't lord it over them the way the pagan, Christ followers do. You serve, okay? And guys as well, right? Whether you have more or less sex, candidly, it doesn't take us real long, right? And Jerry Seinfeld said, women need a reason to have sex. Guys just need a place, you know. And it's kind of true. We're not that complicated. It's like one switch on off, it's a bit of a stereotype. But and so a lot of times you'll just see guys just go, hey, I can be happy and fulfilled, in a really really short period of time. And so I'll just do that, and then I'll roll over and go to sleep because I kind of got what I want. That's just unchristian. It's just unchristian. That's not what Christians do. They seek to serve. They seek to put the needs and the desires of other people before their own. Okay? So if that's going on in any capacity, power struggles, or I just want to make sure I get what I want, then there's work to do. Okay? There's work to do. And Christ has always been able to help us do the things he calls us to do. Always. Okay? And this is really one of those areas. So anything else on that?
No, I don't think so. We'll just jump into the next. So the question you might ask is, so what is permissible in this? Yeah. And so we hear, so we've got this groundwork. Just make sure our bodies are good, sex is good. It's an opportunity to glorify God. It's designed for marriage, and it's an opportunity to serve. And so in that, so we're two Christians here. We're trying to figure out how we navigate this. What is in bounds and out of bounds biblically?
Yeah. And there's so much we want to talk about. I mean, it was a, I don't think we made this point, but God gave it to us as a means of oneness that he called us to, that's different. That's a bonding experience that's just very, very different than a kiss or sharing a meal. And there was incredible designed hormonal releases that bond you and bring you close. And so there's a physical thing, there's a sacredness. This is a really big deal that God gave us. So we want to make sure that when we're enjoying the gift, we do so kind of in a biblical manner. And so this has proven to be helpful generally for couples, and we want to share it with you as you kind of have your own unique conversations. Hey, is this in bounds for us as Christians? Is it not? How do we even have these conversations? And so what I want to do is talk about some things you could think about on the outside that make it outside of this little square would be out of bounds, okay? And inside of that, could be inbounds for you. Okay, so number one, things that would be clearly out of bounds is anything that would involve others. Okay, anything. Actually, once you go, that's fine. We can keep it there. So anything else? Actually, we just my ADD. Go back to that first one there. Okay, great. So let's stay here for 1 second. Okay. So anything that's outside of that square would be anything that is that involves others. So Matthew 5:27. This is an amazing verse. A lot of times we think about adultery as physically hooking up with somebody. And Jesus said, oh, no. It's even to think lustfully about someone else, okay? And so if that's going on, and whatever you're thinking about doing, whatever is going on in your marriage bed or in your own heart, anything that involves someone else is clearly out of bounds, okay? So that would involve pornography in any capacity where you you watch it yourself, or you bring in pornography to the bedroom and say, hey, let's do this, right? Which I will bet you your neighbors do, or somebody on your block does, and they might have even told you that's a good idea. It really helps us, okay? Out of bounds. It's out of bounds. Thinking about someone else, right, while you have sex, or someone else you wanted to have sex with, that involves someone else, and that's out of bounds, or looking at anything. So anything, right, and obviously physically bringing someone else in, that's out of bounds in the marriage context.
The next one, it can't hurt anyone emotionally, physically. Just point you back to that Philippians 2. We look to others' interests as more important than our own. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition. And so to kind of force what I want physically, or just this kind of emotionalness on, I'm just going to push through, then that's not okay. And so to hurt anyone in any way is obviously out of bounds. But just to keep that on your mind, because in the moment, and you desire, and everything you want can push through some of that quickly. And you, before you realize it, you can be hurting your spouse. And so if you hurt anyone in any way, it's out of bounds.
Yeah, and then lastly, there's more, but we'll just make this the last one here. It can't violate someone else's conscience. Okay, so Romans 14 is really clear that there's some things that are okay to do in Christ. They're not good or bad. But if your conscience says this is not okay to do, and you do that, then you've sinned. And if you've made someone else do something that violates their conscience, then you've sinned. Okay? So it might actually be, if God was going to give a thumbs up or thumbs down on it, he might go thumbs up, but you go, I don't think that's okay. And you push through, you've sinned. Or you go to your spouse and he's like, I don't think that's a good idea. And you go, no, we will do this. Then you violated Romans 14, and that's out of bounds. Okay? Does that make sense? So it can't involve anyone else. It can't be hurtful. And it can't violate your conscience or someone else's. Okay, so then we're left with this next slide. We can go there. This is, I think a helpful way to think about it. You've got the husband would say, hey, this is kind of the way I think about it. This is what's okay for me, and the wife, this is what's okay for me. And anywhere there's overlap there, that's kind of where you're free to play and explore and have fun. And it might change, and it might get bigger, it might get smaller. Whatever there is, wherever there's overlap, that's where you're free as a couple. Okay, so that's a pretty equitable graph. It's been my experience in counseling. This next one, this is kind of the way it comes into my office a lot of times, right? Guys, like, I'll do pretty much anything, and I can't get her to do this. Okay, so that's the way it goes a lot of times. So, but it's increasingly we're seeing it flipping actually. And so if it's the other way around, you're not weird, gals. You're not perverted. There could just be a God-given wiring. Okay, so but go back to this other one here, and let's just run through a couple things. I just want to illustrate this. Any of these you want me to take? That's the one you want me to take. So
sure.
Pam just pointed at sex toys.
No, I was just,
okay. You want me to talk about that? I can talk about that one. Okay, great.
People have asked before.
People have asked. Yes. Okay.
All these people have asked, by the way.
So what about sex toys? And so I would take you back to, does it involve other people, right? So you can't watch porn as you do that. You can't think about someone else or involve anyone else. It couldn't be hurtful, and it couldn't violate someone's conscience, okay? So I don't know that it matters. You can ask us. I just, Pam and I will tell you anything if you want to connect afterwards. But we don't. There's nothing that we have in our closet that we're scared our kids are going to find, and pull out at Thanksgiving and go, what is this thing, So we don't have anything like that. We've got some kids, or we've got some friends. I don't even know. I didn't bring it up, but somehow at dinner this came up, and found out, they use sex toys. And so I just asked all these questions, and I was like, you know what? I think that might be okay for you guys. And then they told us they have a little bag, and they, when they travel, they take it with them, And I'm just thinking about going through security, and the guy's going, hey, what is this thing? And sometimes you have to turn on things. things that are mechanical. And I was like, nope, not us. But I think for them, I think that was okay. And Pam and I go like, I don't even know if it's a conscious thing. We're just going to like, if we're going to err on one side, we probably will err on the side of caution. And I mean, ask us in 20 years. I don't know. We have no plans. But I think that illustrates, I don't have any plans. But I think
ask
that illustrates
I don't know.
The way we thought about that one. Okay. So what else?
Yeah. Another one. So what about oral sex? And, John just referred to Song of Solomon, and there's some verses in there that talk about standing in my shade and blowing in my garden. And it's not an agricultural book, by the way. It is a book about a couple that just got married. And so we would say, yeah, I think there is oral sex in the Bible. But we would point you back to, is it okay for the wife? Is it okay for the husband? If one of you says it's not okay, then it's out of bounds. That one's clear. It's just got to be okay with both of you. And we, when we talk in Merge in the pre-married class, we just encourage people just in all these, just start out more normative. You're getting married and you're saying, I do till death do us part. You're planning to have sex for many, many, many years. Start out many years. and you start out, we just encourage them, start out more normative. You don't have to be as crazy and try everything you've ever dreamed or fantasized about in the first month of marriage. And so, things will change. Maybe I'm not interested in oral sex now, but maybe later, And so just be open to new things. But again, that's one, it's fine, obviously, scripturally, but it would have to be okay with both.
Yeah, you would never ask your spouse to do that. They go, I think that's the grossest thing ever. Okay, great. So at least for right now, that's out of bounds for you. And it might be okay for another couple. And I do think that's what Song of Solomon's talking about. There's no apparent agricultural benefit to blowing on your produce, so that's okay, but you would never, I've never tried. I can't firsthand say that's the case, but I don't think so. So what about role play? Okay. And you're going to have to trust it. Like there's no play to be crass. What I do want you to know is there's nothing that you can't ask here in this church or in your small group. And if your small group leader is going, please don't ask me the, you ask, hey guys, load them up. That would be a great, joke play on them. Think of something crazy to ask them tonight.
Totally
but if they don't know, we'll find the answers. You don't have to go somewhere else. Right? God's word and God's people should be where you start with this, not Google, okay? So role play, how would I think about that? So let's just say, Pam said, and this has never happened, by the way, but let's say Pam said, hey, I got this idea. What if you dressed up like a plumber? Okay, and you
never went
like
for sure what he's going to say. The plumber.
So, and you go like under, our sink and pretend like you're working, and I'll just come in and jump on top of you. We'll have a big time, my first question would be, are the kids out of the house? is that okay then for us, or is it not okay? Okay. Well, if I thought that was just. Like I'm not gonna be your little plumber guy, I hate that idea. Okay, out of bounds. Okay, if Pam said, well, again, this has just never happened. I'm just playing this through. So, if Pam said, I remember my boyfriend, was a plumber, and so this is what we used to do, and that's out of bounds. Okay, it's out of bounds. Or something, she had seen before and said, I've seen this, I want to act this out. And that one right there, that's really interesting. A lot of our ideas for sex and what we think we want to do come from pornography, right? It's not like we're reading the book of Romans in the morning and we go like, oh God, help me love my wife. That's a great idea. We write that down, right? That's not where our sexual ideas come from. They generally come from some pretty dark places. And those things actually could be okay, but it's really helpful, at least it has been in my life, to chase that back and go, hey, where did that come from? Okay, that didn't come from God. And in fact, garbage that I saw years and years ago, Christ actually had to die for that. So how dare I take something that Christ had to give his life for and then make demands on my wife from that? That's just out of bounds as a Christian, okay? So, but it's been really helpful for me to and other people to kind of chase back, hey, where did that idea even come from? Okay, that wasn't a good place. So then I can just kind of not get too wound up about whether we can or can't do that, okay? So all those things, if that's not the case, and I go like, all right, man, you know, I'll be your plumber for hire or whatever, you know. I probably still would ask, are we sure the kids are out of the house? And that we could do that, okay? All those things would have to be true. And we also couldn't be like, Pam couldn't say, hey, you know, every night, like, I've got to dress up and, you know, be next night it's the carpenter guy, you know, or whatever, like, and otherwise she won't have sex.
Although all that sounds really practical because we have lots of jobs around the house that need to be done. So that kind of makes sense.
It's not in the notes. Yes, okay, but I think that makes sense, right? So it just has to stay in bounds. So anything else?
I mean, we should just say again, pornography, obviously, very clearly, but don't want to not reiterate again. Pornography in any way, shape, or form would be out of bounds.
Yeah, that's good. Last one, I would just say Viagra and all those kind of stimulants. And so here's how I think about this. As best I can, I like to get in the gym and I like to lift weights, right? So I don't have a workout partner. My workout partner used to be my son, but I don't have one right now. But let's say I've got one who's the same age and roughly the same build. And so we work out together. It takes me now at my age about 3 days to recover, okay? So if I was going to go in there and I do some squats tonight, it won't be till Saturday till I can lift, right? And so then another 10 years, that'll probably be 4 days. And then, you know, another 10, it's going to be 5, 6. It might take me a week to even recover from one workout. And so, but as we kind of aged, my workout partner and I, that would be the deal. And so imagine he comes to the gym, you know, and he's just feeling incredibly spry. And I'm like, dude, what happened to you? He's like, taking steroids. Got some roids. And so let's get in there, heavy squats. And he's just like killing it. Like, wow. And he goes, hey, we're showing back up tomorrow and we're going to do heavy squats. And I'm like, oh, no, dude, it's going to take me like 6 days. And he's like, no, you're my friend. We're here tomorrow. You know, we're doing heavy squats. That would just be so unfair, right? And that's not a bad, minus the illegal part of the steroids, that's not a bad analogy. You know, some of us are, we've kind of aged together, and then we pop the magic blue pill and go, man, like, I'm ready. I'm ready to work out every day. I'm ready to work out twice a day. You know, where are you at? That's unfair, okay? So could it be okay? Sure, absolutely, right? And it could also be really, really selfish. And so you're just going to have to kind of pray and think that through. So, okay? So tonight, the whole exercise is just to think through, what does God say about this? And I have found in my life, anytime I follow God's blueprints, I have much more joy, as do the people around me. And I get in a lot of trouble when I think I know better. And so we've got 4 kids, which means I've put together 4 bikes on Christmas Eve, if you've been there, right? And it always went the same way. Unbox it, and there's bolts and tires and everything. And Pam goes, here's the instructions. I don't need the instructions. And I just start screwing and, you know, bolting things on there, and the wheels are wobbly and the brakes don't work. And Pam's like, we're not releasing that on our children. Read the instructions. And so I go back and I read the instructions, and it works the way it should. And there's generally blessing and much rejoicing in our home. And when you follow God's blueprints, whether you want to or not, right, it generally goes well, especially if both of you are. Okay, so a lot of pain, a lot of hurt in here. So the last thing you want to do is go back tonight on the drive home and just say, they said you were supposed to have sex with me, you know, and quote a Bible verse, Adam, it's not loving. I'm telling you, to your peril, you would do that. You want to take the long-term view and think about the next wise conversation to have. We'll talk about some of that next week, but I really want to make sure that you start tonight, you heard, hey, as Christians, or even those that are checking out the faith, we start with, what does God say about sex? Okay, Suze?